بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، معتمد المؤمنين، غاية أمان العارفين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم جميعا. All brothers and sisters in faith. Before we start, I need one or two volunteers of sisters or brothers or both to go outside and invite all those who speak English and command this language as good to understand what we are going to talk about, because we are going to speak about a crucial lesson from Ashura, and it applies to each and every single individual of us, we Muslims. So if there are one or two volunteers, just to go outside and invite those who are going around and get them here. Salawat. And as our brothers may say, this is about hijab. So the topic today is about hijab. So while we are going to invite our brothers, there is no need for brothers to invite them. This is wrong, as we are going to understand that this topic applies to both men and women, to females as well as males. So if you are ready, we are going to start soon, as soon as you have recited loudly salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, ahsant. As you are all, mashallah, so young, we have all one problem here, that is actually our mobiles. I want you, regardless of which background, whatever picture you are putting, to switch it off. If you have done that, so we are ready to start. Regardless, I said, which picture, regardless of which, you know, rose, matam you have put as alert message, whatever, please switch it off. Are you all ready? Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad.
So, as we are all ready, so we're going to talk about a lesson from Ashura. Why this is the lesson from Ashura? Usually Muslims, and especially Shia Muslims, they have taken Imam Hussein just to cry for. And I'm asking now each and every one of you, if Imam Hussein were alive nowadays, and he looks at us, we're just crying, wouldn't he say, you should cry about your own conditions? Wouldn't he ask us, what have you learned from my teaching? What are you doing? Isn't he going to ask us this question? I know crying, matam, rozakhuni, it's all important. But there is something which is more important, that is to take into consideration, to bring into being his teaching, his lessons, the path he wanted to revive for all of us, the lifestyle he wanted for us to live and to be a role model for all others. If we have done that, believe me, he will be happier than looking at us crying and not practicing what he has asked us to do. And I think you all agree with me. If you agree, I want you now to recite salawat. So, the lesson for today is about hijab. Now, how we have learned that from Imam Hussein, salam alayhi. I'll start with this historical record. People during the day of Ashura, They have been attacking Imam Hussein and his army, and they were getting killed one after the other. And some of those rude, arrogant, aggressive enemy attacked Imam Hussein's tents. Women, due to being in a condition of despair or having fear, they were desperate. They couldn't stay in their tent. They went out without hijab. And Imam Hussein was fighting. Despite that, he left that and he addressed those enemies. And he said, You people, listen to this. Ya ayyuhan nas, ana alladhi uqatilukum. I am the man who's fighting you. Fada'u harami. So leave my woman, leave our females in their peace. As long as I am alive, he said, ma dumtu hayya, fa'muru utatakum an at-ta'arrud li harami. So order, he said, ask your indisciplined soldiers not to attack my woman. فَمْنَعُوا عُتَاتَكُمْ عَنِ التَّعَرُّضُ لِحَرَمِهِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. This is the lesson. We have respect for our females and we are willing to sacrifice our life for them. This is the message from Imam Hussein, and this is what we are going to talk now today about hijab. But hijab not in its classical way. Hijab in a Quranic perspective. Hijab not the way that you have learned probably from your old grannies, old fathers and mothers. I would say this is a Quranic perspective. You will be surprised if I am going to tell you that hijab is as well required from men. Hijab from men? Can you imagine now you are wearing headscarf? Is this what you are talking about? No. Of course not. This is not the case. We are not talking it in its literal sense. And you have to forgive me if I have sometimes followed the British accent, because I'm based in England and you are in the States, and I love your accent as well, but I'm unfortunately not able to follow your accent. So I do not mean hijab in its literal sense, I mean in its teaching, in its philosophy. The reason and the philosophy behind hijab applies to females as well as males. How? So hijab in a Quranic perspective, down there you see a woman with a headscarf, but in that upper picture and painting you see both Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, where were they? They were in paradise according to the Quranic story. So as you can see, they are both there. So both were attempted and both surrendered to the satanic temptation, and they have eaten from that tree. I do not accept the biblical classical story which says Eve seduced Adam. No, they were both tempted and they were both seduced to commit their sin. So they are both responsible, and therefore in this painting you see both of them here. Both of them are part of this painting. So if they have committed a sin, now we are going to learn what kind of sin is actually committed. Now, let's see what is the next step. Hijab, usually we conceive it or perceive it as the Muslim woman's modest dress. But unfortunately, in the West, is the most stigmatized and misunderstood example of the Muslim woman's dress code. Unfortunately, it is like that. Why? Well, the first question they would say and ask a Muslim woman, look at her, poor girl, she's oppressed, isn't she? Otherwise, why should she cover herself? She must look beautiful, attractive. So why? There must be something wrong. Is she oppressed? That's the first question they would address. And they would even sometimes dare to ask our sisters. So it's the most stigmatized and misunderstood. Now, if you see now, I have put different examples of different style of women. Some of them are very fundamental and, you know, extreme Muslims. Some of them are wearing the moderate hijab. Some of them are the moderate Western style. I didn't go further. I had to stop here and make their image blurred somehow. I don't want you to recognize their faces. So, what kind of conclusions will an Islamophobic Western layman draw from these images? Somebody can help? What do you think? If a Western man would look at that far extreme woman, what would he say? She's what? Oppressed? No, the second one is oppressed. The first one must be a very harsh word, you know. What is it? Let's see. What is the first one? She's very isolated. If we be very moderate and very polite, they would say she's an isolated woman, you know, old-fashioned. Now the second one is oppressed, as you have put it in your own way. The second one is oppressed. Now how about the third one? The third one is a modern one. It seems that we are all old-fashioned then. Why? Because we are not dressed like this modern woman. I'm not even dressed like a modern man. So you see, this woman is a modern one. Now how about these four ladies? They are nice, isn't it? This is the problem, actually, that people look at things totally from different angle. We look at it from this way, they look at it that way. And our Muslim sister, she's oppressed. While these ladies are nice and beautiful, there's a problem, isn't it? Yes, I agree with him. He's getting very excited and loved her. What is the problem? Now, I want you to understand the problem. The problem, they look at things from different and various angles. For our Muslim sister, they say she's not a free individual. She is rather oppressed. So somehow her freedom has manifested itself in the way she has dressed herself. So her clothes, the way she's dressed, has been taken as an example or as a measure to see how free or oppressed this lady is. Now, is this correct? I disagree on this point, and I don't accept that. But I'm just looking, okay, fine. If this lady is so isolated, she's totally deprived all her freedom. This one is oppressed. Now this one must be freer woman. And this lady, these ladies are freer. And those ladies, you know, by pornographic, they are absolutely free. Do you accept that, that a naked woman in the street of Houston, will she be considered as she's walking naked on the street? What are you going to call her? Everybody will call her? She must be crazy. This is the problem. Now why? According to this logic, the first one is so deprived of her freedom. The second one is oppressed. The third one is free. These are freer. And the absolute free lady is that one who's walking naked on the streets of Houston. But nobody accepted that. And you, all of you, have said she is insane. Now, if this one is nice, or let's go to that logic which has described those women who are naked to be insane, crazy. Now, this woman is dressed a bit modest, better than that naked lady. So she is what? She's clever at least. She's not that insane. So I guess then those ladies will be the cleverest. If you follow that logic, they must be the cleverest ladies. But you see, that logic didn't work, and they haven't actually accepted that for our Muslim sisters. So which logic is correct here? That logic, from this side you look at our sisters, that they are what? Oppressed. But from the other side, from the other angle, you're looking at them in totally different way. Why? If you follow that logic, then our sisters will be the cleverest. Why have you, for God's sake, deprive them this description to be the cleverest? They must be the smartest. Why you have deprived them that honor to be smart, to be clever? They have to answer. I don't have any answer. But I think there is a problem. The problem is that they do draw different conclusions from these images, which is totally, as we have seen, identical with the fact. And the question is, why do their perceptions of these women probably focus on the negative aspects, whereas their perceptions of these women seem to focus on the positive? Now everybody was laughing here. Why? Because they realized there's something wrong here. Here it was all negative, isolated, old-fashioned, oppressed. Here, what did they say? That they are modern, nice. Why? There must be something wrong then. So, the fact is that there must be something wrong. And here we are going to see other parallels that unfortunately here is males and our brothers are suffering from in the same way as our sisters. Our sisters in Afghanistan, you know, once you look at them, I have seen some Iranian girls look at those ladies and they say, Lulu. Only Iranians understand what does it mean, Lulu. Lulu means in Iranian culture something like a monster. So those ladies who are totally covered, they are what? According to this Iranian lady, a young non-practicing lady, these are Lulus, monsters. Now some other brothers, we men, we are suffering from another stereotypes, and that is in the West. Once you have your beard, once they look at you, they say, why you are not shaved? Didn't you have time? Or are you Muslim men so dirty? There is another problem here. And I want you, our brothers and sisters, to understand that we are suffering equally. Our sisters suffering in this way, and our brothers are suffering in that way. So we are equal in these stereotypes. And I want you, our young generation, our youth, to be proud of yourself and consider that this is our identity. We don't care about you. We don't care as how you look at us. We are Muslims and we are proud of our identity. Now for our brothers, I don't want them to have that long beard. I just put it in the form of humor because they informed me there will be some very lovely, nice kids here. So we have to make it somehow with British humor. So I don't want you to leave it that long. And I don't want you to be dressed like Lulus, according to the Iranian, like monsters. At least be in a moderate way. The moderate way is just to dress with hijab, and for our men, to just have a modest dress and good beard, to show that you are a Muslim. That's it. Now, because there is no space, people are coming. If you just recite salawat and come closer, please. I want to see you closer. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان القائم. It's fine, you can sit here. So, many examples, unfortunately, are presented in a surprisingly discriminating way. And we have seen that some of our men, our brothers, are called to be another monster, just like those monsters here. So we are all suffering. And this is what we are going to discuss today, to understand that the Western lifestyle is always and or often somehow introduced as the exemplary role model for women to emulate. They want the Western style of a woman to be followed and to be imitated. Why? Is a Western woman better than Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha? If you want to recite salawat, I will be happy. We all know that she is the best and the perfect manifestation of her father. So if you make your prayers, you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirri al-mustawda'i fiha. She's the central. She has got her central existence of this prayer. بحق فاطمة وأبيها, and her father and her husband, you see. She's the most important figure and distinguished figure in Islamic teaching for a female. So why is a Western woman, why should she be our role model? Why shouldn't Fatima al-Zahra be our role model? Why is actually the lifestyle of a Western woman is the exemplary role model for all women to emulate? Why? I just put a question. Can you give me one reason for that? I'm satisfied with one reason. I couldn't find one single reason. Only she's good at arguing with her husband. Is that what you mean? No. A Western woman, she's a human being just like us. But there is the culture, the teaching, the moral values which is missing. When a Western, I mean a European or an American, or regardless, when she's converting, when she's following those moral values, you will see that she's definitely just like Fatima al-Zahra, sallallahu alayhi, just like Khadija al-Kubra. And we'll be proud of her as much as we are proud of our sisters and females from the Middle East or from wherever they are. So if you agree with me that Fatima al-Zahra is our role model, I want you to recite now salawat. Now the Muslim lifestyle, unfortunately, again in the same image, is seen as being miserable. Now all our sisters are living miserable lives. They don't have anything of their rights. And they are deprived of any decision. They cannot decide for themselves. Is this correct? The answer is no. No. Just take example of marriage. Do you know that a lady, a girl, even if she is virgin, if she is forced to marry someone by force, even by her own father, this marriage will be considered to be invalid. Islamically, according to Sharia law, this marriage is void. Because marriage as a contract is based on consent from both parties. And the sister, without saying yes, you won't call her my wife, will you? It is so difficult for our brothers to grasp that, I guess, and some of them could not so far digest that, but this is the truth. Can you as a father force your daughter, you must marry this man? She will say, when she becomes really impolite, who are you to tell me this? I would say, believe me, my dear father, you cannot force her. She is the one who is going to decide for her future. And her destiny is linked and based on her own decision. So she is the one who should decide about her future and whom she is going to live with. So let her be free, but try to convince her and show her the right path. At the end of the day, it is her life, it's not yours. Do you agree? I want you to recite loudly salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's carry on and see, as the English would put it this way, why not simply call a spade a spade? Now, if you see that naked lady walking around in Houston, she must get a problem. She must get a problem. Now, and she may, at the end of the day, suffer from mental disorder. Now, these ladies, they are not oppressed. So a woman who's walking totally naked in public is insane, as she may suffer from mental disorder. And those ladies, they are not oppressed. These women are just normal. Look at that Lulu when she takes over her cover. She's smiling, very nice young girl, isn't she? She's not that monster you have built in your own mind. No, she's just an ordinary human being. And she's smiling. What a lovely smile. So, these women are just normal. They are just committed individuals who have chosen different options. That's all. At least give them that right to decide for themselves. And they are human beings just like you. So this is what I want you to speak to our sisters who are not wearing hijab. To those Americans or Europeans, to tell them, listen, we are just like you. We are human beings. And you have to give us that respect we deserve. If you are human beings, we are human beings. We are committed individuals. We have decided to live in this way, and we are proud to follow our example, that is Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, unfortunately, people just look at hijab, as we said, in a form of cover for face. What? They look at it like headscarf. And I have seen some Muslim women who are walking around with a headscarf, but they wear down there, you know, like jeans. Well, it doesn't make sense. If you are a Muslim who wants to perform, do what is her duty, that is to have hijab, so you have to be modestly dressed. A dress that should not reflect your beauty. Now, you should have this hijab on all your body. I want to see hijab on all your body. It's not only about headscarf. There's something more in that. So what we have put here is any act which could potentially lead to a flagrant violation of the social conduct, especially the right of public decency, I would call it here public decency, is forbidden, declared prohibited or undesirable. Now, if you look at this statue here, it is showing a lady who is totally naked. Now, is she a human being? No. She's just a statue, isn't she? But she's totally naked. Now, can you imagine, as a president or as a faqih or as wali faqih, whatever you are going to be, inshallah, in the future, do you accept that in your house or on your streets, in the public area, to have such a naked lady? It's just statue, isn't it? Can you say that there must be hijab on this lady, and if Taliban are in power, they're going to put, you know, some dress on her in Afghanistan? As they have done with Buddha, they're going to do something similar to that lady. They're going to get covered with hijab and headscarf. Is this what you are requiring and asking them? Is this what you want to say? Is this our message we would like to convey? Wrong. We didn't say that. All what we said, we do not like that. Because this is again violating what is called public decency. We don't want that. In an Islamic society that lives up to the standards, the moral values of Islam, we don't accept that. We'll get rid of it. But the problem is not within hijab, it is about public decency. We want us, our youth, to live up to these moral values, up to these standards. And it is the standard of being modest and to be the perfect manifestation of chastity. Now, a pornographic film displayed in cinemas is another example of violation of what? Of public decency as well. Why? I am asking this question. During the time of the Prophet, were there any pornographic films? No. There were no cameras. There were no cinemas. So could the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ever said, this is haram? No, he couldn't. So these things did not exist during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, would you say, as it didn't exist, so kullu shay'in laka halal hatta ta'lam annahu haram? We don't know, so let it go and let it be. No. Our scholars, Muslim scholars, our jurisprudents made it very clear, explicitly clear, it is haram. Why? Why? The same point, it is violating public decency. And this is not our lifestyle. These are not our moral values. And we don't accept them. Any form of artworks which display nudity, whether expressive, performance, or visual arts, are all against public decency. By the way, this is considered as an act or as an example of art in Western culture, isn't it? This is art, they call it. Art. Yeah. And some of them, in the old days, they have been even writing some novels like Gustave Flaubert with his French. Those who know about French literature, do you know about the novel or the fiction by Gustave Flaubert, what's called? Madame Bovary. It's another example of this, what is called expressive work, but it is against public decency. Or even sex in public between a man and his wife in public is not accepted as well. So we would say these are all considered contradicting public decency. And that's why we say it is haram and we don't accept that. So this is the crucial point. The crucial point is that once we look at hijab, we always look at it from one side and we see only women wearing hijab. Why? Did Quran present hijab in this limited way? Or did it present that in a holistic approach? The holistic approach is that there are other things which are considered for both men and women. So there is another holistic approach which contributes to a deeper understanding of the panoptic view, mutual duties and similar responsibilities. How? For women, as in this case now we look at them as an active part, any form of inviting voice, the exposure of the body, a sensual touch, these are three acts, all of them are haram. For men, as are considered to be affected part here, listening with lust, looking with evil intentions, any form of stroking or touching are all again haram. So you see, it is wrong to look at hijab only from the second point of that part, the exposure of body. Wrong. Any form of inviting voice is haram as well. Quran made it clear. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Do not speak in an inviting voice. You woman, do not speak like that. Is that hijab? Yes, it is part of hijab. So, it is haram, and as we have seen, that the third is haram as well, the same applies to men. Now, men, they are not allowed to listen with lust. They are not allowed to look with lust and evil intention. Quran as well made it clear. What did it say? Quran states to have, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, have said, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. يغضوا من أبصارهم is to lower their gaze. Lower their gaze means to not look here and there. Or some of our sisters and converts, once they get married to their husbands and they knew their husbands have, you know, her husband has got weakness for blondies, and she was telling him every time he's going, you know, anywhere, don't spot the blondies. What is that? She's asking actually just to lower his gaze. That's all. It is another form of hijab. What do you mean by hijab? This is what do you mean by hijab. It is a holistic approach that applies to both men and women. This is the problem. And unfortunately, we don't look at it as this way. If you get back again, return to this point before we get to the Quranic formula, that there are other things which are as well declared haram for men. Listening with lust, looking with evil intentions, or any form of stroking and touching. Our men, unfortunately, sometimes they ask our sisters, do not shake your hands, it's haram. And when he goes to see any young lady, he would be happy to give hands. to shake hands. Why? The same things which applies to her applies to you. You are as well required not to touch. If it is haram for her, it's haram for you. If she's obliged to wear hijab and headscarf, you are as well obliged not to look with evil intention. These evil intentions are manifested in this Quranic verse. Lower your gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. So, listening with lust, looking with evil intention, or any form of stroking, these are all haram. Or the reverse, whereby a man plays the role of a seducer and a woman is the victim affected. This can apply as well to the other side, you know, the reverse way of looking at it. There are men sometimes seducing women. There are men sometimes who are, you know, starting their temptation to attract women, and this is haram as well. We say that hijab applies to both men and women. Do you say by this interpretation of Quran that Quran is a feminist? No. You may see that some of those Western feminists would be satisfied by this interpretation. But my intention was not to satisfy and please those feminists, because some of them are very extreme and you will never be able to please them unless you accept, you know, blah, 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 you know. The problem is that we are following the Quranic theory, and the Quranic theory is manifested. The best way is to say this is the holistic approach and it applies to both men and women. And therefore we say hijab applies to both men and women. Now, I have to make it clear. I don't want our brothers, once they step out from this hall, and they will say, there you go, this sheikh has told us something strange, we have to have hijab. We men. Is that what I meant? Wrong, I didn't say that. I said lower your gaze. The same that convert sister was telling her husband, don't spot the blondies. That's all what we said. Lower your gaze. Do not listen with lust. Do not have evil intentions. This is your problem, men. As that there are other things who are required from females, is to cover their body and not to expose their body. And sensual touch is haram. Inviting voice is haram. And by this approach, we understand that it is an obligation to maintain public decency, to have chastity for the whole Muslim society. And the last point that I wanted to just touch it slightly, and we'll leave it to another day. As you can see by these paintings, that there is a Quranic theory here, and it is best and laconically summarized in these three lines. Equal proportion of enticement and satisfaction. Now, what do we mean by this? And how should we explain that? I'll leave it to another session. If you want, we'll explain it inshallah tomorrow or after tomorrow. And we leave it to another day. But I just wanted to say that this whole lecture is actually based on an article recently is about to get published, recently is finished, and it is the article number 8 of my new book, which is called Islam and Feminism, Theory and Applications. Now this article, which is about 48 pages A4, the whole lecture is based on this article. And there are something like 12 pages, just questions, answers. Questions, answers. So if you have any questions, we are willing to answer you. And inshallah, if you want, we can give you as well copies of those questions and answers to get all your inquiries and questions answered in its best way. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum. After dua, you are free to go, but those who are interested to sit and have a Q&A sessions, I'm willing and ready to help them. Just pray for Imam Zaman, salatullah. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلة اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Now you are free. If you want to go,